On this episode of Rev Hang,
we love the inflatable towboat.
We do love the inflatable towboat.
McLaren has, I think, the best in-season development of any team, and I think they have for several years now.
Which is crazy to say, but yeah, I kind of agree with you.
Yeah. It's crazy that you agree with me, Ben. I know. No.
Crazy that you agree with me, but I agree with you agreeing with me.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rev Hang. I'm Nathan, and alongside me, virtually this time, again, as always, is Ben Bagley. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing good. Your voice is very loud right now, because it's almost like you're right next to me. Good. I got a little bit sunburnt over the weekend. It was 4th of July, so obviously we went out and drinking on the river, and I missed sunscreening a little portion of my legs that is quite itchy now.
Unfortunate. Well, yeah. The sunburn, not the floating the river. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, that part was fun. I got to be the inflatable towboat for everyone else. A lot of snags on the river.
There you go. Yeah, we love the inflatable towboat.
We do love the inflatable towboat. It comes in clutch when you don't want to run over a branch with five people.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, this is not a floating the river podcast. I'm not even sure how you would do that. This is a racing podcast, so let's dive in. We have a lot to get to today. We do have two races to go over, IndyCar and Formula One, and then there will be four IndyCar races before the next Formula One race, meaning we have five races worth of predictions to go over this week, plus the two from the previous week. So let's dive right in and hopefully keep the reviews a little shorter this time, Ben.
Lightning round. Love it.
Lightning round. Starting with Mid-Ohio and IndyCar. Actually, before we do this...
Are we not going to talk about
paddock
news?
News.
There's news, Nathan.
There's massive, massive news. A benefit to doing this podcast late this week, because I was sick, for everybody who's wondering why we're 2 days late.
It's not because of my sunburn.
No, it's not because of Ben's sunburn, although I'm sure he's suffering much more than I am right now. Been sick, which is why we're not in person, because having a sunburn and being sick does not sound fun, so I don't want to do that to Ben. So, paddock news. Ben, there's really only one thing we can talk about right now.
Only one thing on my mind.
This morning, I woke up, and before I even made it to the shower, I looked at my phone and got absolutely flabbergasted at 6 a.m., when I saw the news that Christian Horner has been fired and is no longer the team principal at Red Bull Racing in Formula 1.
Although, crucially, he's still technically under employment by them because of a contract thing, I think. But, yeah, he is no longer making any decisions for the team or anything.
He's working so hard for them by sitting at home and taking checks.
Honestly, the dream. But actually, probably not for him.
Yeah, I don't know how long his contract is. If it expires at the end of the year, that's probably the best for Red Bull, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if he's under contract for several years, that could be kind of huge for Red Bull, actually, too, because then they can keep him from moving to another team. We're not fully aware of the reasoning behind the firing. There are some theories, though, and let's get into those, Ben. First and foremost, I think the least likely theory is to do with the... inappropriate conduct allegations that took place about a year and a half ago, where he was accused of sending inappropriate messages to a female employee at Red Bull Racing. Those were dropped. I think the employee even came out and said that they were baseless after the accusations were made. Who knows what the real story is there, because the legal system in this world is something else sometimes.
Yeah, I think... the allegations were found to be, I don't know if false is the right word, but within Red Bull, they didn't find any proof of misconduct. But then the employee has taken it to the courts, and I believe because of that, it's not allowed to be talked about by like F1 media or anything like that, or by the media in general. So it might still even be going on. I'm not sure. That's the impression I got from what articles I read. So obviously it's all secondhand information, which is the best that two American boys in their 20s can do at this point.
Of course.
But yeah, I also think that's fairly unlikely, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. I think if it was the reason, I think it would be much more high profile and we would have heard something about it. But who knows, maybe not.
It's possible. I just think that if that was the reason, this would have been done at the very latest at the end of the year last year.
Yeah. Yeah, unless they found new evidence or something like that, or some court proceeding happened, which, there hasn't been anything to hear, so.
Yeah. There are two other scenarios, which I think both are much more likely, and both of them involve Max Verstappen. And both of them are essentially opposite reasons, which is interesting that I think they're equally likely. The first reason, I think they're equally likely, so I don't really sway either way on this. The first reason is Max Verstappen has signed, this is not news, this is just speculation. Max Verstappen has signed a contract with Mercedes from 2026 onwards, and due to Red Bull's downward trajectory and then losing their star driver, Christian Horner was fired because of his inability to lead the team, which, you know, that I guess is a valid reason. I wouldn't say he has an ability to lead the team. I think that would be kind of a rash decision. But Red Bull does like to make rash decisions.
His track history would prove that he has a great ability to lead the team, to be completely honest. But there has been a lot of drama surrounding him and some of the decisions he has made regarding driver lineups.
Yeah, so that too. So that could be part of it. And then the other reason, somewhat completely opposite, is Jos and Max Verstappen have so much influence in that team. From all the things we're hearing and from the things that Jos Verstappen in particular has said, the Verstappens do not particularly like Christian Horner, and this could be a last-ditch attempt by Red Bull Racing to keep Max from leaving the team.
Right.
Which, again, I think is about as equally likely as the other one.
Yeah, it's weird to say that it's as likely that Max has gone to Mercedes as it is that Red Bull is trying to keep him from going to Mercedes.
And both involve firing Christian Horner. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure in the coming months we will have more information. I don't know when. If Mercedes has signed Verstappen, I'm sure they are chomping at the bit to make that announcement. I'm sure there are going to be legal loopholes that have to be jumped through because Max is under contract at Red Bull until 2028, so there would have to be a massive buyout, and I'm sure that would all have to be done prior to the announcement, unless they want to pull an Alpine and make themselves look very silly.
It's not the first time.
Yeah. So, that's very possible. And then the other, of course, is that they're just trying to keep Max there, and firing Christian Horner was kind of, you know, one of his demands, if you will.
That feels so weird to say, but I feel like that's the more likely option. Because, like, if you lost your star driver, and honestly one big part of the equation to your team's success, firing the other part of your team's success, like cutting off your nose to spite the face, seems very illogical. Not that this team has done logical things in the past, but as a form of damage control, firing one of the guys who's brought you all the championships as team principal is not one of the things that I would do after your star driver leaves. So I honestly feel like it's more likely that he was booted in order to keep the other part of the team that is keeping the lights on.
Yeah, I would argue that Max Verstappen is doing a lot more for Red Bull than Christian Horner is right now. Even though Christian Horner is doing a lot at Red Bull, Max is single-handedly keeping that team afloat.
Right, so, yeah.
And then Laurent Mekies has a wealth of experience in Toro Rosso. Then he moved to the FIA to, I assume, do some administrative stuff. And then he moved to Ferrari as a technical director, I believe. Then back to VCARB, and he was the team principal after Frantz Toste left, and now has been promoted to CEO and team principal at Red Bull Racing.
Big step up.
Big step up, for sure. So this is massive news. Not something I think anybody saw coming when they woke up this morning. You know, we'll see where this goes.
It's fun to get news that you don't actually see coming. Kind of like the Hamilton to Ferrari news and a couple other recent things.
This is almost as groundbreaking as the Hamilton to Ferrari news. I think that was a little more earth-shattering for me. But this is big, for sure.
Yeah, especially it seemed like they kind of put all the rumors to rest and then all of a sudden, like, just boom.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying about them not firing Horner after letting Verstappen go. I still think it's about 50-50. I could see Red Bull, especially if Helmut Marko is still pulling strings like he always does over there. Mm-hmm. They don't tend to make calculated, well-thought-out decisions as far as their staff goes. They tend to be
saying
very
that Helmut
impulsive.
Marko is an irrational old guy?
I wouldn't go that far. But, yeah, I think they make very impulsive decisions, and I think that's just part of their brand at this point. You know, Red Bull is cutthroat, the most cutthroat of all the teams, and, you know, that could transfer to their team principal as well as their drivers. And since Christian Horner has made nothing, well, I was going to say he's made nothing but horrible driver decisions, but I really don't think that's true. I think that since Adrian Newey left the team, the car is just plummeting off a cliff and they can't fix it.
Yeah, I will say, wasn't he the one who wanted to keep Perez for as long as possible?
Newey? Or Horner?
Horner.
Probably. I think Helmut Marko had a lot to do with booting Perez. Yeah.
Yeah. Almost seems clairvoyant now, but...
Yeah. It's hard to really say what's going on.
Yeah.
But if Christian Horner is out of contract at the end of the year, just for funsies, what teams do we think he could go to?
Well, I wish Cadillac didn't already have a lead man, because I think he would just be such a boon to that new team.
Yeah.
And I think that'd be really funny. Mm-hmm. More realistically, I mean, Alpine is still working with Flavio Briatore, and I know he's technically in charge of the team as an interim, but eventually they're going to need an actual team principal, right?
Yeah, and having someone with where they're at right now, having someone with that wealth of experience, that depth of experience, keeping teams at the top, because Red Bull's been at the top since 2010, in the top three at least, you know?
Right.
So I think that'd be a huge move for Alpine. Sauber is pretty set because they have Jonathan Wheatley. Moving
Williams
into Audi.
Is pretty set.
Yeah, they have Seidel, Andreas Vowles. Seidel as well. Yeah, Vowles is not going to leave Williams. I think Williams and him, that seems like a super strong bond.
Yeah,
I was
Ferrari
thinking,
seems pretty set. I don't
Ferrari,
think Fred Vasseur deserves to move on at this point.
Not
I
yet.
Feel like he's made enough of an improvement to stay. I think he might be one of those on-defense ones where maybe Ferrari, but I don't know.
I think Ferrari gives him a couple more years.
Yeah.
Aston Martin seems like an interesting option. I don't know. I don't remember what the relationship between Adrian Newey and Christian Horner was like. If it was good, that's a very valid option.
I don't know
option,
if it was.
I don't think it was, though. Yeah, it's like, if I remember right, I don't think it was great. And they're going to keep Newey over picking up Horner for sure.
And they just picked up a new team principal this year, too, didn't they? It was Mike Krack last year.
Yeah, they keep cycling through people. But picking up Christian Horner is such a Lawrence Stroll move that I could see it happening if Newey was okay with it. But they're not going to drop Newey to bring Horner in, because Adrian Newey is obviously a much more valuable asset to any team.
Yeah, Mercedes is set. Toto's not leaving.
Oh, Toto's not leaving. It's kind of tough.
Haas.
Maybe Haas could do it.
Oh, that I could honestly see that too. I mean, their team principal's obviously been doing pretty well. Haas hasn't been terrible this year. I mean,
they have not kind been of terrible. Been
Haas, for better or for worse. But I mean, Esteban Ocon's 10th in the championship. The team overall is 9th in the championship, which isn't great. But they also clearly have a slower car than a lot of the field, so I don't know. I could see Haas. That would be a huge pay cut and cultural cut, I think, for Horner to swallow. So I think the chances of him wanting to go to Haas are much lower than Alpine.
Alpine, after you talking about Flavio Briatore, because I forgot that he's like the acting team principal, but that's not his permanent position. So
he's not supposed to be there, yeah.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. And, you know, he is not one to shy away from controversy, if you know anything about F1 history. So I could see Alpine, actually. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I think that's probably the highest chance because, Haas might want Christian Horner if the chance comes up, but I don't think Christian Horner would want Haas.
Yeah. The pay cut would be immense, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, the pay cut's going to be big.
Specifically,
he
would
no
not want
what.
Gene Haas.
Yeah.
But at least Alpine is much more of a established racing team with intent to stay in the field for as long as possible.
Yeah, I think so, too. I also heard a rumor today that Hyundai is potentially starting a bid to start an F1 team.
Hyundai? With who?
Hyundai. With themselves, I think they'd be a works team. They'd have to get an engine. I don't know how that would all work, but it's, again, just a stupid rumor I saw on the internets today, so who knows? But that would not happen in 2026, clearly, because they are way too late.
No, definitely
to the
not. I mean, they have been making a big push into racing sports over the past few years.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of rally car legends at this point, but they've been pushing into endurance too now, I think, so.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a lot of heads from BMW and other performance districts. They're kind of like the Aston Martin F1 team of car manufacturers, where they just hire as many top heads from successful programs and other car companies as possible.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the big news of the week, for sure. But with that all being said, let's keep this thing moving and talk about Mid-Ohio real quick. To give you some context, the top 10 in qualifying were Alex Palou, Christian Lagarde, Kevin Simpson, Nolan Siegel, Colton Herta, Louis Foster, Kyle Kirkwood, it's going to take me so long to get used to that, Marcus Armstrong, Scott Dixon, and Marcus Ericsson. Moving quickly through the race, Palou dominated most of it. Dixon saved fuel for the entire race to make a two-stop work. Herta and Award challenged for a podium, but ultimately came up short. Near the end of the race, with just a couple laps to go, Palou made a massive mistake and allowed Dixon past him. So Scott Dixon ended up winning the race, followed by Alex Palou and Christian Lundgaard on the podium. Fourth and fifth were Herta and Award. 6-10 were Rosenqvist, Armstrong, Kirkwood, VK, and Simpson. 11 through 15 were Siegel, Ericsson, Ilott, Foster, and Rossi. 16 through 20 were Ferrucci, Malukas, Stingray, Robb, Daly, Dave Francesco. 21 through 25 were Schwartzman, Abel, McLaughlin, Rahal, and Rasmussen. And our two, I guess, Christian Rasmussen DNF'd. And then the other two DNFs were Will Power and Joseph Newgarden, just to ruin Penske's day.
Good to see all the Penske's in the bottom 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so rough.
One of the worst Penske races I've ever seen, that's for sure.
At a place where they've historically been very strong, or at least one of them has been.
Yeah. Joseph Newgarden crashed on lap one, after turn three, I believe. Will Power had his engine explode, and Scott McLaughlin just didn't do much. So I'm not sure if he had an issue. I don't remember. But
I mean, the whole team has issues, clearly.
Yeah. Clearly right now. Talking points for this week. Palou made mistakes for the first time in his life. I've never seen... He made two mistakes in that race, and that was kind of wild.
Yeah. I mean, clearly he wasn't super... I mean, he was a little upset about it towards the end, but during his interviews, he's kind of chilling, so it's good to see that mentality-wise. It doesn't really seem to affect him.
the dude is 113 points ahead in the championship. He can afford to finish second.
Yeah.
Scott Dixon giving another fuel saving masterclass, which he did last race as well. He didn't quite make it to the end, but boy, did he try. But he made it work this time. He somehow saved fuel for the entire race and was only like 3 or 4 seconds behind Pelot, who was pushing the entire race. I don't know how that happened, but...
the same way it always happens.
Yeah. Joseph Newgarden, his season is somehow getting worse than it already was.
Guy can't even finish a road course race now.
I don't know what's going on with that guy. I feel bad for him. His season has just been absolutely horrible. I think they said he's had like 5 DNFs this year, and that's more than he's had like in the past 5 years combined or something like that.
Yeah, I'd believe it.
Which is crazy. But yeah, Newgarden is having a horrible year. I don't know when Penske, because he's had like 3 bad years in a row now, and his only saving grace was that he's won the 2 previous Indy 500s.
Yeah.
And he DNF'd the 500 while he was probably going to win the 500 if he did not have his fuel pump issue, I believe it was.
Yep.
I don't know, man. I don't know how you can look at Newgarden's last 3 years and go, yep, we're going to sign him up again. I don't think he'll be off the grid if he gets booted from Penske. I think he's too good of a driver for that.
A team like Meyer-Shank would pick him up immediately.
Or Ray Hall, yeah.
Finally, yeah. A replacement for Graham Ray Hall.
Yeah, Joseph Newgarden. Penske has been eyeing, who is it? Was it David Malukas? They're looking at somebody, one of the younger guys. I believe it was David Malukas. That sounds right to me. So we're going to go with that.
Yeah.
And they've been considering replacing Will Power with this other driver. But I don't... If I'm Penske, I'm looking at Newgarden more than Power at this point. While Will Power is still not having the best season, I think Newgarden...
He can be a little spicy at times, but, I mean, there's no bad publicity at this point.
Yeah. I think Newgarden is... more consistently bad right now than Power has been. So that's where I'm at there. The only other argument to that is, well, Power is getting up there in age.
That's what I was going to say.
Newgarden is still, I think, probably low 30s, if that, upper 20s, high 20s.
I don't know. One of us did a whole video on him.
One of us did. I don't remember who that was.
Some way to know.
Yeah. Yeah, where I just absolutely glazed the man for 13
you
minutes.
Jinxed
and
him.
And then ever since then, he's just been absolutely horrible. Yeah, I ruined Joseph Newgarden's career. I'm so sorry about this.
That's going to be the thumbnail. It's a picture of your face saying, I ruined Joseph Newgarden's career.
Yeah. moving on. Colton Herta seems to be allergic to good pit stops. It's painful.
Well, he's not allergic to them.
His pit crew and Andretti
seem to be allergic to them.
Yeah. The poor guy just can't.
Bro's punching the air so hard after that pit stop.
He wouldn't have won, but he might have been on the podium. I don't know.
Yeah, no,
it was close.
I bet he lost that 4 second delta between him and third place.
Yeah, probably. So unfortunate things for Herta. And then we already talked about Penske. So let's move into the standings real quick. Do we even need to at this point? Alex Blow is 113 points in the lead with 430, followed by Kyle Kirkwood and Pato O'Ward. Then followed even further behind by Scott Dixon and Christian Lagarde. That's really all that matters right now.
Yeah, the top six are kind of separated pretty good. The top one is separated pretty good from the rest of them, but it'll be interesting to see in Iowa on the short ovals where Kirkwood and O'Ward can scrap out for second place.
Yeah. Just looking at it now, Alex Palou has more than double the points of the person in eighth place in the championship, which in IndyCar is actually insane.
Yeah, that is wild. He almost has double the points of Colton Herta.
Yes. almost. Not quite. But he's basically, for all intents and purposes, 4 points. Yeah. Pretty wild times there. Let's move on to Formula One and the British Grand Prix to keep this moving. Qualifying to give you the top 10 in context, we had Max Verstappen with a miraculous pole position, followed by Piastri and Norris. Fourth and fifth were Russell and Hamilton. Six through 10 were Leclerc, Alonso, Gasly, Sainz, and Antonelli. Carlos Sainz made it to Q3. Great to see from him. Or maybe, no, I don't think he did actually, because there were two people. Antonelli had a penalty, and was it Hadjar? Someone else.
Oh, yeah.
No, maybe it was Tsunoda. Yeah, Tsunoda had a penalty. Tsunoda, yeah. So he, I think, probably was P11 in Q2 and then got bumped up. So let's move into the race. The race started under wet conditions. Piastri took the lead from Verstappen early on, and Norris followed him through to P2. Piastri brake checked Verstappen on a safety car restart, sort of. It looked more, it was kind of a confusing one. But he got a 10-second penalty for that incident. That really fazed Verstappen, apparently, because he spun out on the restart lap and dropped to P9. Norris passed Piastri on pit strategy after the penalty was served. Nico Hülkenberg was one of the only drivers to not spin slash crash and found himself in P3 approaching the end of the race. Hamilton tried to chase down Hülkenberg to the end of the race, but the Hulk held on, and Nico Hülkenberg scored his first podium in Formula One after 200, and I believe it was 34, 36 races?
239.
Yep. So that the record for most F1 races raced without a podium is no longer Nico Hülkenberg's. It would be most consecutive without a podium would still be his, but he does have a podium, so the big highlight, the big headline is no longer on him, which I'm sure feels good.
Yeah, I bet.
The curse is
It was
broken,
also kind
Ben.
Of funny that his podium overshadowed Norris's home win so much.
Oh, so much. Yeah. But honestly, I was concerned about Hülkenberg's seat going into Audi next year. And
oh, really?
This might have saved it. Yeah. Yeah.
Because, I mean, even without this, he was still pretty high up in the scoring charts for a backmarker car.
This is true. He's getting old,
I mean,
though,
granted,
man.
This
he's
puts
like
him
40.
In the top 10 now, which is hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't think it was for sure going away, but with a huge team change, which even though Audi already basically owns the team, like, this is going to be a big shift from Sauber to Audi. And if they're going to sign a new young face or somebody from IndyCar or somebody from somewhere else, this is probably when they would do it. And I don't think they would give up Bortoleto, because Bortoleto has shown potential, and as a rookie, I think he's doing a fantastic job.
I think they're actually going to Audi as a pretty strong duo still.
I do too, but I'm just saying, I thought there was a possibility. But
gotcha.
I think this just sealed Hülkenberg's seat at Audi if he wants it next year.
Yeah, I mean, more power.
Which, who knows? Maybe now that he's got his podium, he's just like, all right, I'm good. I think when Audi takes over, I think things are going to get better for Sauber. They're going to build on the development they already had. Well, actually, they can't because it's brand new cars. So never mind on that. But
they'll have just as good a chance as anyone else, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. And Hülkenberg now has proven that he can get past that mental block. And I was just thinking the whole time, I was like, he's going to spin out. He's going to do what he always does in podium positions and spin out.
Just overdrive the car just a little bit.
Just a little bit. But the dude held on and drove perfectly. He was seriously one of the only drivers that didn't go off track a single time. Because Piastri went off, Norris went off. Pretty much everybody. Lewis Hamilton had trouble driving the car. George Russell was spinning at high speeds. Like, everybody was having issues except for Hülkenberg.
Yeah.
So that's what it took. Moving into the results, in first place was Lando Norris, followed by Oscar Piastri and Nico Hülkenberg on the podium. Fourth and fifth were Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen. 6 through 10 were Gasly, Stroll, Albon, Alonso, and Russell. 11 through 15 were Behrman, Sainz, Ocon, Leclerc, and Tsunoda. And we had 5 DNFs, which is crazy that we only had 5, because my goodness, that was a treacherous race.
Yeah.
We had Antonelli, Hadjar, Bortoleto, Lawson, and Colapinto. Colapinto was actually a DNS because his car got stuck in gear, and I think he burnt his clutch is what actually happened there.
Nice.
Not ideal. So we talked about Nico Hülkenberg. Sauber is now P7 in the standings after like 3 weeks ago they were last. So crazy times for Sauber.
They actually have a chance of catching Williams. Never would have thought. Yeah.
Right, crazy.
I think you and I were talking about this, was it last week or the week before?
We were like, Canada,
oh yeah, Sauber's probably done towards the bottom. And yeah, very cool.
Yeah, and we were talking about how like no one's going to catch Williams in P5. They're out on an island on their own. And then Williams just tanked their performance.
I still don't know if Sauber's going to catch them, because it would take a few more performances from Sauber with Williams performing the way they are. And I think from a developmental standpoint, Williams will probably push further ahead than Sauber after a summer break.
It's possible. I'm really interested to see what happens, though, because Sauber's car has gotten markedly better since the beginning of the season. Like, they're consistently challenging for points now, and it's not like crazy, you know, they're just lucky to be there. Like, they are fast now.
Yeah.
So I think the Sauber-Williams battle, I think it's possible.
It might just be what we need.
Yeah. So let's talk about Piastri's penalty. For those who did not watch the race, safety car lights went out after a safety car, which means that the leader now dictates the pace for the field. In that case, it was Oscar Piastri. He slammed on his brakes to slow the field down because the safety car lights went out super late in the lap. And he wanted to give the car time to get into the pits so that he could go when he wanted to and get the restart he wanted, essentially. It was a little much on the brakes there. But I think a 10-second penalty was kind of insane.
To me, the penalty felt like the stewards realizing they should have been penalizing this move when it was pulled in other races, whether it was Russell or... I can't remember if Verstappen did it at one point this season,
probably,
but
done
notably,
it, yeah.
I remember Russell doing it, and Piastri might have done it one other time earlier this season.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was the stewards reacting to not penalizing those and saying, oh, they're still doing it. We should make them not do that. But
yeah,
I think it was handled poorly. I think it should be penalized when they do it, because it's still an unsafe maneuver with so many cars stacked up behind you, and especially given the context of the rain and all that. But
yeah,
10 seconds seems harsh.
I think 5 would have done it.
I think 5 might have gotten the message across, but it would have had to be applied consistently.
Yeah. So I'm sure, as you know, this is unfortunate for Oscar, as he probably would have won the race even with a 5-second penalty. I do think that this will get whatever message across, if that's what the stewards were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really just like, come on, guys, don't slam on the brakes when there's cars behind you that aren't expecting it. You can ease onto the brakes and slow the field down almost as quickly without endangering people. Like, Oscar could have slowed down plenty in 3 seconds compared to half a second, and still let the safety car go and gone just a little bit later in the lap, not even that much.
Because in the past, Verstappen was penalized for overtaking under safety car because of that.
Yeah. He wasn't in Canada. And then he wasn't in Abu Dhabi in 2021 on that fateful night.
That's fair. Yeah. Who was I thinking? Was somebody actually put in that
position?
I think
it did happen to somebody this year. I don't remember who it was. And, was it in Monaco? Ollie Behrman is jumping out to me. Because he did a couple. There were a couple incidents where he passed people when he shouldn't have. I think Monaco was a red flag, and I think he did one in Canada too. I don't remember the exact scenarios, but I believe it was Ollie Bearman. But yeah, I mean, I agree that drivers should not be absolutely stomping on the brakes when drivers behind aren't expecting it. That is going to lead to bad things in the future. Everyone remembers Mugello in 2021, or maybe it was 2020. I think it was 2020. That huge like 11 car pileup.
Yeah,
that's what will happen if you do that. So I agree that it should have been addressed. A penalty, probably 5 seconds. 10 seconds was kind of crazy to me, though. That's a lot. I mean, that just essentially handed Lando a free win, which I guess Oscar did something wrong, so fair enough. But also, I don't know. Sits weird.
It could have been worse, but it also could have been handled better for sure. And I was thinking Red Bull, it was in... where was it? It was... 24 days ago was the article about it. It was in... What race is 24 days ago?
Probably Canada.
Canada.
Because that was the one before Austria, I believe. So...
Yeah. Where Russell did do that to Verstappen, and I was remembering Red Bull trying to get Russell penalized for that.
Yeah.
With an appeal. Now I remember.
Yeah. But then, you know, I watched an analysis video on that last night, actually. And... Piastri braked twice as hard as Russell did, and the safety car lights were still on when Russell was when he did his thing, so the safety car was still dictating the pace. The protest actually from Red Bull wasn't about the braking; it was about George getting more than 10 car lengths behind the safety car, which is also illegal. So it was actually a protest for a different thing, but then they pointed to that and they're like, "This is what it should have been." It's, you know, F1 teams will, they'll try anything.
Yeah. And we've talked about it before, where the stewards and race direction are kind of at the mercy of, well, you can make decisions quickly or you can make them objectively correctly, but there's not a whole lot of overlap between those during the heat of a race. So,
yeah. And I really also think that not having volunteer marshals and stewards that are different every single race would help. If we had a consistent team that was the same every race that could be trained and would do the same things in the same situations without any sort of country bias, which I know they say it's not, it's a thing. I mean, come on.
Did you hear the announcers during Silverstone?
Probably. I don't remember what you're talking about, but
just in general.
Yeah, I mean,
I remember the F1 TV broadcasts when Verstappen went off. They're like, "Finally, Verstappen goes off," and I was like, "Oh, that was kind of weird."
Yeah, don't do that. bias is a thing in sports. It's always been. It always will be. I don't think it had much to do with, you know, them penalizing Oscar for Lando to win in this instance. But I think, as in general and overarching themes, I think we really, really need to hire full-time marshals and stewards and have it be the same team for every race, because that just makes the most sense to me.
F1 has the cash. They can have the money. They can fly a few more people around, or a dozen more people around.
You don't have to pay them that much. Pay them a living wage and you're going to have like diehard fans that would absolutely love that job. So it's not like you're paying them $1 million each every year. It's give them 100 grand, call it good.
Yeah, I mean, if IndyCar can do it, and it's a much, much smaller series, granted with much less of a reach, but if IndyCar can travel around with their much smaller budget and their commensurately small range of races, then I think F1 can do it with their budget scaled as it is.
Yeah. Let's move on. The championship battle is getting really tight. Lando Norris is only 8 points behind Oscar Piastri now, and Lando seems to have some momentum. Whatever mental hurdle he was having trouble getting over in the beginning of the season, or like just after the beginning of the season, seems to be kind of falling a little bit. I think winning his home race will give him a lot of confidence.
For sure.
Granted, without that penalty, I think Oscar wins. But they're very close. They're so close to each other now. And so... I still think it's anybody's game. for the championship, which is really cool. We haven't seen a teammate championship battle since 2016.
It makes me wonder how long they'll let them each race each other for, because they're pretty well ahead of everybody, not only in the Drivers' Championship, but in the Constructors' Championship, too.
Especially the Constructors. So, they're over double second place. Not to say that
they have cash and points to throw away if the two drivers want to crash each other out, but they can afford to let them race for a pretty long time as long as they keep getting results out of it.
Yeah, I really think that unless, like, Verstappen makes a huge comeback, I don't see Ferrari outscoring McLaren by 238 points over the rest of the season. Even if there's a couple of crashes between the McLaren drivers, I don't see Max Verstappen outscoring Lando Norris by 60 some odd points by the end of the season. I think they're going to let him race until the end. And I don't, because McLaren's so far out front, they clearly have the best car, and they're so consistently at the top. I don't see any reason to not let them race it out.
And their upgrades are always so consistent after summer break, too.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the fastest car, I find it hard to believe that they won't have an even faster car, like, more exactly. So than the other upgrades that other teams get at the end of summer break, because that's always what they do. They always take all the data that they've gotten, and they use it really well to improve their car for a summer break.
Yeah, McLaren has, I think, the best in-season development of any team, and I think they have for several years now.
For sure.
Red Bull off-season development is off the charts, maybe not this last year, but in historically, Red Bull starts the season with a fantastic car, and they make minor upgrades throughout the year that don't really push it too far crazy forward, but usually they start so far ahead that by the end of the season, it's just too far, they're too far gone anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
And with Max in the picture, like, that just obviously compounds things. And then I think Mercedes is pretty good too with mid-season development. Ferrari, I feel like, kind of stagnates. They kind of just have what they have for the year, and their upgrades never seem to really do a ton. And then the rest of the field is, like, you know, it kind of varies for year to year. Yeah,
Williams is fine.
Aston Martin goes backwards,
which is
funny. Yeah, that's consistent, yeah.
I'll be interested to see where Sauber goes, because they actually have what looks like to be a decent car shaping up, and I hope they can keep up the momentum and come back with an even faster car afterwards. I hope they don't lean too far into something and go the opposite direction on accident.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so too. But yeah, I think McLaren's in-season development is the best in the field. They usually start bad, but this year they started good, and they always build on it. And even this year, they've brought upgrades that have been substantial. So I see post summer break, I can see them making another leap forward, even farther ahead. Whatever they're doing to cool their tires, I don't know what it is, some voodoo magic tire water. Whatever it is, it's working, and it's legal. Apparently, it will be made illegal next year because the FIA knows what they're doing, but it is legal. But there has been a technical directive for next season that will make whatever magic they're doing illegal, which no one can seem to figure it out, so it's only going to affect McLaren.
I've been seeing
it's probably one of those, like
their suspension being just super, super stiff compared to other cars, and I don't know, maybe they figured out how to drastically change their roll centers and their cornering characteristics to prevent extra loading on the tires, almost like anti-dive or anti-squat, but side to side, which is a thing that exists. It's a little more difficult because you kind of want suspension, especially when you're going over curbs and a lot of stuff that F1 cars go through, but who knows, maybe they figure out a way to negate that and just not have as much weight transfer to the inside tire or outside tire.
I did watch a video, I believe it was Driver 61. He did a video on their anti-dive suspension, and they're doing something different with it than any other team, and it is really good. that doesn't seem to explain how Red Bull's thermal imaging caught cold spots on their brakes and in the like center of their tires. I suspect it's some sort of crazy brake cooling trick that's doing it. And I think, you know, it is legal, and I think they're not, I don't think they're targeting McLaren trying to pull them back as much as it is, you found a loophole and it's against the spirit of the rules, so we're going to rein that back. Kind of like the dual axis steering system that Mercedes had.
Yeah, man, it wasn't dual axis steering. That was so cool.
Yeah, it was really cool, and it wasn't illegal, and it wasn't like a targeted thing, like saying, "Hey, we don't want Mercedes to be so far out front." It was just like, "Hey, that's cool. It's legal. You can have it this year, but you're not going to have it next year."
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's all this is, because this seems to be as influential as DAS was. In terms of the performance gains they're getting from it.
Which is crazy to say, but yeah, I kind of agree with you.
Yeah. It's crazy that you agree with me, Ben. I know. no.
Crazy that you agree with me, but I agree with you agreeing with me.
Yeah. We've talked about Red Bull. Colapinto apparently is about to lose his seat from all the rumors that have been circulating, whether it's to back to Jack Doohan or if it is to Valtteri Bottas remains to be seen, but from all the things that I've been reading, Colapinto just raced his last race, or didn't race his last race, I should say. So unfortunate for Colapinto if that's the case. I don't know if that's the case.
Yeah, I'm skeptical. I don't know.
Give him to the summer break. Let him do Spa.
Yeah.
See how he does. He hasn't been spectacular, I'll give him that. But like, he hasn't been any worse than Doohan was. And yeah. Can't guarantee that Bottas is gonna do any better because he's been out of a car for a while.
Bottas to go to Cadillac, so like please don't go.
I also want Bottas to go to Cadillac for sure. All right, driver standings, Oscar Piastri at 234, Lando Norris at 226, Max Verstappen at 165. George Russell at 147, and then it tapers off to Leclerc at 119, and Hamilton at 103. Past that, it's all kind of people fighting for scraps. Kimi Antonelli is in P7, which for a rookie is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he's way out ahead of any other rookie. Granted, yeah. He's also in a car that's way out ahead of any other rookie's car, but...
This is true. He's had some bad luck too. Like him DNFing this race was not his fault. He got absolutely demolished by Hadjar. So,
yeah.
And constructors, McLaren has 460, Ferrari has 222, Mercedes has 210. So definitely a battle for second. Red Bull's at 172. So maybe if Verstappen can make a crazy comeback at the end of the year, he can push Red Bull into that fight for second place.
Yeah, if Mercedes accidentally forgets why they went no side pods.
Yeah.
And they try to do no side pods again after summer break.
For some reason.
Because it looks cool.
It does look cool, but it's not great. Williams has 59 in fifth place. Sixth place is... Oh, so Sauber's actually in sixth. 41 points. Racing Bulls at 36. Aston Martin at 36. Haas at 29. And Alpine at 19. Which I feel like Alpine has done better.
For fifth and sixth place.
We do, yeah. I feel like Alpine's been doing better than the results seem to be showing this year. But
Gasly has been qualifying excellently and then absolutely falling off during the race.
Yeah, that seems to be the theme with Alpine.
Because I noticed that this race, too.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, he did come in sixth this race. But I guess that kind of put in perspective previous races where he did not.
Yeah, indeed. Pit stop championship. Tsunoda had the fastest pit stop time this week at 2:06, followed by Antonelli at 2:21, Verstappen at 2:23, Gasly also at 2:23, Russell at 2:35, Hamilton at 2:38, Norris at 2:39, Ocon at 2:52, Hadjar at 2:55, and Alonso at 2:56. So, standings, Hamilton has jumped back out in front of Leclerc for the lead of the Pit Stop Championship. And then it's a long way back to Piastri in third. And then Bortoleto and Tsunoda are tied for fourth and fifth. Norris is in sixth. And Russell is in seventh. and then it kind of just, yeah, tapers off. Nothing too interesting there. Constructors, obviously, Ferrari is well clear, followed by McLaren and RB.
Interesting.
Overtake of the week, Ben. I gave this one to Lewis Hamilton for his double overtake on George Russell and Esteban Ocon on lap 18 at Silverstone. You know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
I'll give it to him. Yeah. I'll allow it.
In the wet conditions, good stuff.
Yep.
All right. Weekly predictions. We got a ton of them. Last week, Mid-Ohio IndyCar pole position went to Alex Palou. What'd you say, Ben?
I said Ferrucci.
I said Herta.
I jumped on the Ferrucci bandwagon too late. He had a couple races and it's all over now.
Yep. Podium was Scott Dixon, Alex Palou, and Christian Lundgren. What did you say, Ben?
Obviously, I put Palou, but I also had Kirkwood and Ferrucci, and that did not pan out. Kirkwood was notably kind of far behind this year, or this race.
Yep. I had Herta, Palou, and Malukas, so we both got Palou. Winning number of pit stops. Herta was close, yes. And you gave me so much shade about that.
Yeah, I know.
Winning number of pit stops. Back on the bandwagon now. There you go. Two pit stops for the win. What'd you say, Ben?
I had three.
I had two. Formula One, Great Britain, top five. We had Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri, Hülkenberg, Hamilton, and Verstappen. What'd you say, Ben?
I had Piastri, Norris, Russell, Verstappen, and Leclerc with Bortoleto as my dark horse.
Okay. That's an oof.
Yeah. Not great.
I had Norris, Piastri, Hamilton, Russell, Antonelli, and Hadjar as
Much
my
better.
Dark horse. Nico Hülkenberg absolutely ruined my day by getting that podium and taking Hamilton out of P3.
Yeah, definitely ruined mine too, for sure.
Ruined my day. Yeah.
I had no chance.
Fastest lap went to Oscar Piastri. What'd you say?
I had Norris for this one.
I had Hamilton. Driver of the day was, of course, Nico Hülkenberg.
Who could have anticipated? I had Russell.
I had Hamilton.
Hold on. My camera video light just went off.
Uh-oh.
Stand by.
All right, we're back. Moving on to IndyCar and the first Iowa race. Pole position. What do you got, Ben?
I've got Rasmussen for this one. Giving him a chance.
I have Joseph. Yeah. I've got Joseph Newgarden, giving him a chance. After all the hate from earlier.
Yeah.
Podium, what do you got, Ben?
I'm going to take a chance on Malukas, Award, and Rahal.
Okay. I've got Newgarden, McLaughlin, and Palou.
Honestly, just as risky as mine, if not more.
Yep. I know. I saw the two Penske boys in there, and I'm like, hey, okay. Yeah, we're both taking shots in the dark here. Winning number of pit stops, what do you got, Ben?
I've got five for this one.
I have four. Moving on to Iowa 2. Pole position, generally, I don't know if they're doing it different this year, but generally how it works is whoever gets pole position on qualifying day is on pole for both races. Qualifying is essentially the same, which makes sense because they have one qualifying day and then two race days. So
So
we're both going to say, you say Rasmussen again for this, and I say Joseph Newgarden.
Sure, I guess I'm locked in.
Well, we made this mistake last year and the year before, so we're not doing it again.
Yeah.
Much like not missing Indy 500 qualifying again this year.
We would never.
We would never. Only twice. Podium, Ben, what do you got?
I was making fun of Newgarden, but I kind of want to see him succeed, so I'll give him one short oval as a treat to do well. And then I'll have Palou and Lundgren finishing that one out.
Okay, I have Palou, Award, and Kirkwood. And just to say, like, this is absolutely Joseph Newgarden's track. He always dominates on this track. So if he's going to win one, it's going to be
this
here.
Would be the place. Yeah.
Yeah. Winning number of pit stops, what do you got, Ben?
I've got four for this one.
I have five, so we swapped. Hedging our bets a little bit. All right, moving on to Toronto street track. What do you got on pole position, Ben?
I'm going to give this one to Kirkwood.
I'm giving this one to Lundgren. Podium, what do you got?
Kirkwood, Herta, and Pillow.
I have Kirkwood, Pillow, and Dixon.
Nice, very similar. Yeah.
Yes. Winning number pit stops, what do you got?
3, just like usual.
I have 2. Laguna Seca, pole position, Ben. Give it to me.
Connor Daly.
Connor Daly. Connor Daly himself.
If he doesn't need to worry about fuel or tire management, man, just give him one lap just to see.
Yes, exactly. I have Alex Pillow on pole. Podium, what do you got, Ben?
Kirkwood, Pillow, and Award, because there's no way Daly makes it a full race, especially with Ferrucci on the same track as him.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
You predict Daly will lead the first half of the race and then drop like a brick to the back of the field.
He'll lead the first third of the race, and then Ferrucci will spin out over him on top of him.
Yeah. And the corkscrew, he'll jump into
Yeah.
Podium, I have Pillow, Herta, and Power. Did you give me yours? You did, yes.
Indeed.
Winning number of pit stops, what do you got, Ben?
I've got 3 for this one.
I have 2 for this one. All right, that rounds off all 4 IndyCar races that are coming our way. So, this next episode's going to be a long one.
It's going to be great, yeah.
Belgium, Formula 1, my favorite track on the calendar. Also, in recent history, has been one of the most boring races. But I think that might change this year because we have 2 people in the same car that are extremely close to each other in performance. And Max Verstappen, who has a horrible car, but this is his best track. So, this one might be good. Maybe we'll get some rain, but I'm not going to pray for rain at Spa because we all remember 2021.
We know how that goes. It's like praying for rain at Imola.
Don't do that. All right, top 5. Wow, okay. Top 5
Sorry.
For Belgium. No, it's okay. It's just it's, this week is... Anyway... top 5 for Belgium. What do you got, Ben?
I've got Piastri, Norris, Russell, Verstappen, Antonelli, and I've got Hülkenberg as my dark horse because how could you not?
As you should, Ben. As you should. I have Norris, Piastri, Verstappen, Hamilton, and Leclerc with Liam Lawson as my dark horse.
Interesting.
Yep. Fastest lap. What do you got, Ben?
Norris.
I have Piastri. And driver of the day, Ben, what do you got?
What if it's Hülkenberg? I'm just saying, it's happened before.
It has happened
again. If there's rain.
Nico Hülkenberg. Yeah. Nico Hülkenberg wants rain at Spa, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Driver of the day, I have Lando Norris. All right. Ben, do you have any words of wisdom for us this week? If not, I do, or we can both do one.
We can both do it. Have you ever thought about carrying around a little flashlight? Just walk with me here. The amount of times somebody has asked me for a flashlight, it's like a pocket knife, but like without the implication, you know. It's pretty nice. Like, sure, your phone has a flashlight on the back of it, but it sucks and it's terrible, and you look like a goof holding your flashlight out when you're trying to look serious, trying to find a bolt that fell down between the cracks of your car or something like that. And a flashlight is like nice and bright. And they have decent battery life now. A lot of them are rechargeable. This one has a rechargeable battery with a USB-C on it. iPhone users will hate this unless they have the brand new ones. But they're just easy to use. They don't chew through batteries as much as they used to. They're small, very durable. It doesn't matter if you dunk them most of the time or drop them on the floor like a phone or something like that. And they're relatively cheap. This one's $50, I think. And it's rechargeable. I know Olight particularly has a bad reputation in the past, but this one's been pretty reliable, and there's lots of other brands that you can go with, like Phoenix. Streamlights are kind of expensive, but yeah, just carrying a little flashlight with you. A lot of people will thank you.
Good stuff, Ben. I just have a short, sweet one. If you have a sinus infection or have a cold, avoid flying if at all possible. Don't get on a plane. Not only are you, like, you know, gross in a place where everybody is breathing the same air, Also, your sinuses will absolutely hate you for the entire flight. And yeah, so currently, to give some context, I just flew out to Indiana to be with my family while my sister had a baby. So I'm an uncle now, in other
Congratulations.
paddock news. Yes. Feels weird. So I got sick on the first day I was there, which sucked because I was not allowed to hold the baby. But it's fine. I will next time. But yeah, flying back while sick, my sinuses basically exploded. My ears clogged. I've never been in more pain in my entire life than flying back to the West Coast in this crazy air pressure we have at sea level. It was I okay, I've been in more pain in my life, but not on a plane. And
Right, not confined to a single seat.
yeah, I was full body sweats. Like it was rough. And it's now been 3 or 4 days, and my right ear is still completely clogged, and I can't hear anything out of it other than tinnitus ringing.
Oh,
So,
man.
yeah, don't fly when you're sick, if at all possible. And if you do, don't be stubborn and say, "Hey, I don't need decongestants." Do yourself a favor, get the decongestants. Get these, they're called earplanes, I think. I looked it up after going through all this. They are little like earplugs that regulate the pressure change in the plane. It doesn't stop it, so if you take your earplugs out, you're not going to blow your eardrums, which is, a bonus.
Right.
But they regulate it and slow it down to give your ears more time to adjust. And I will be flying with those exclusively from now on because I've always had problems with my ears, but I've never flown while sick before, and it was an experience. So I
Interesting.
know I said it's a short one, but that turned into a long one.
I mean, it's good to know. I got a flight to New Jersey in August, so maybe I'll have to pick some up for myself. I can relate to the sinuses when you're going up in elevation. When I was living in Klamath Falls, I got a sinus infection and had to drive home from sea level in Junction City all the way back to Klamath Falls. And it hurts. And I can't imagine how much more it hurts when you're going up 30,000 feet instead of just 5,000.
Yeah, it was intense, to say the least. And then going up and then down, like
Ugh.
it was brutal. So, I will definitely get those earplugs in the future, and maybe just always take, I'm not going to give medical advice, but for myself, I will probably always pop some I don't remember, Sudafed, that's what it is,
Yep,
before
good
I get on a
stuff.
plane. Yeah, that is good stuff. I've never had Sudafed until this week, and it actually works so much better than NyQuil and DayQuil. It's not even funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Sudafed is my go-to, but that's not medical advice. Don't sue me. But with that being said, with me saying don't sue me for the 30th time
Also
over the
sponsor
course of this
us?
podcast,
Sudafed,
yes,
sponsor
Sudafed,
us?
please. Big Pharma and Revhang going together through all this. Thank you. Earplanes, though, that'd be a good sponsor.
That'd be
We'll
fun,
take
yeah.
it. That would be fun. Thank you so much for watching and listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, leave a like or a rating on the platform you listened on. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more. If you want to see updated standings for IndyCar and F1 or a calendar of upcoming racing in those series, check out our website, revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on any socials in comments or DMs, and we may feature your question in the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, or even TikTok at RevHang Media. We'll be back in 3 long weeks, basically 2 summer breaks this year, to
Ooh.
talk about the Formula One Belgian Grand Prix and the IndyCar races in Iowa, Toronto, and Laguna Seca. But until then, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.